This episode of the WDW Review is sponsored by Magical Mara Designs. Do you enjoy showing off your love of Disney by wearing Mickey or Minnie ears, but get tired of wearing ones that are uncomfortable and give you headaches? Check out the made-to-order ear designs at MagicalMaraDesigns.com. We've got cute and comfortable Mickey and Minnie ears made to order. Designing Minnie and Mickey ears is my hobby. Making ones that are actually comfortable to wear is my passion. Check them out at MagicalMaraDesigns.com.
Hello, welcome to the WDW Review. And I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by my co-host, Stacey Nyman. Stacey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing really well. And Stacey, we're joined by our co-host emeritus, Michael Black. Michael, how are you?
I am fantastic.
You dig the title?
Yes, I will take it.
You know, it's better than friend of the program, you know, so now you're host emeritus or co-host emeritus. So
moving on up.
George Jefferson, there we go. All right, rank these. You guys ready to go before we get into our show?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, name these springs, okay? So rank these springs, not name these springs, rank these. name these springs after I'm naming them. The Disney Springs, Saratoga Springs, Coronado Springs, or Radiator Springs. Name them in order of importance in your life, 1 through 4.
All right. Do you want to go first, Michael?
I can if you'd like me to. Would you like
yes,
more time?
Yes, please. You go ahead. I'll copy your answers.
Okay. If we're going importance in my life, I would say Disney Springs, number one.
Oh, I knew that. I knew that was coming.
Coronado Springs, number two.
Okay.
Radiator Springs at Art of Animation 3.
Okay.
And Saratoga 4.
It doesn't even have to be at Art of Animation 2. It could just be Radiator Springs in general from the movie. So, but okay, I got it. Stacey, what are yours?
All right, so I am going to copy his first two and say Disney Springs number 1, mm-hmm. Coronado Springs number 2, and then I'm going Saratoga Springs and Radiator Springs.
Ooh, okay. Well, I can't disagree with you, but let me ask you, the Radiator Springs, is that only because you didn't enjoy the movies? I know you haven't seen Disneyland yet, and I think once you do, that will
yes.
change in your mind. But you yeah. did not... Did you like the movies?
I do like the movies. They're not my super favorite, but they are entertaining. And also, I haven't made my way over to the Art of Animation section of with the Cars area, which I really want to do. Mm-hmm. Just haven't done it yet, so that's why it kind of got lower.
Well, I promise both of you that Radiator Springs will move up your list when you go to Disneyland and you go to California Adventure. I promise you that. So
yes, I'm looking forward to that.
And my pro tip is, before you leave, you must show your kids, again, just the original Cars movie, just once, mm-hmm. and have a family movie night just once before you go. And you'll appreciate it. So, okay, so since we've ranked those springs, I thought we would do that exercise based upon our show today. So we're going to talk about the Coronado Springs Resort. So, Michael, officially, where is this resort located on Walt Disney World property?
It is considered a Animal Kingdom resort, but it is almost equally as close to all the rest of the parks.
You know what? So Stacy was telling us something earlier, and it was hard to believe they were that close. Stacy, give us like bus times from Coronado Springs yeah. to everywhere.
Yep. So these are obviously approximate times. Everything was going perfectly. So Coronado Springs is located 17 minutes from Magic Kingdom, 17 minutes from Epcot, 16 minutes from Disney's Hollywood Studios, 15 minutes from Animal Kingdom, 25 minutes to Disney Springs, 12 minutes to Blizzard Beach, and 25 minutes to Typhoon Lagoon.
Okay, so taking away Disney Springs and Typhoon Lagoon, I'd be hard pressed to think of another resort that was that equidistant in terms of timing to all the parks, right?
Yeah, and I'm having right a hard there. Time believing that Disney Springs number, maybe just because of heavy times going down, you know, Buena Vista there. But my goodness, it's pretty close to the Springs, too.
Yeah.
You know what? It says on here it's 25 minutes by bus, but 18 by car. So, and the other ones are pretty close with bus and car together. So I'm wondering if there might be something with transferring and that kind of stuff with Disney Springs.
Hmm. Okay. Well, you know, I've often thought of Coronado Springs as actually really close to Epcot, and I'm glad you said that, because in my mind's eye, like, it's just right across, you know, I don't officially know if that's World Drive or whatever that is right there, but it's right across the expressway right there in Walt Disney World property, at least in my mind's eye it is. So, you know, I'm glad you said it. It is a Animal Kingdom, because I might have thought it was an Epcot resort, because it is very close to everything. So, before we talk about it, and before we describe it and talk about all the details and what it has, give me your gut instinct. What do you think of when you think of Coronado Springs? Let's go with Michael. What do you think about?
It's picturesque. That's the word that I can think of to describe the resort overall.
Which way are you facing if you're taking that picture?
Right now, I think you can pretty much face any which way, and you'll be good.
You know what? You're right. But it wasn't like that for a couple years, right? You wanted to face away, right? You wanted to face towards the resort, away from the tower.
Right. And it was picturesque. No audio, just visuals sometimes. Because, yeah, it has been. And they've done a fantastic job completely through the construction. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, as with anything, when you're building a tower that's 15 stories, you're going to have some. And plus, they redid all the buildings.
Okay.
So, you know.
Stacey, what do you think about?
I think about theming, and it's just Disney is all about theming, but Coronado Springs just really surprised me when we were there over the summer. I didn't really think I was going to love the theming as much as I did, but there was just so many details everywhere you looked, especially, like we'll talk about later, in the pool area. It was just amazing.
Mm-hmm. So when we first started exploring the resort a couple years ago, well, many years ago now, you know, we always felt that it was really authentic. And I think I think you could probably say that about a lot of the Disney resorts. But something about this, the laid-back feel, the authentic feel when you walk around the cabanas, the ranchos, the casitas, you know, something was just really authentic about it and felt like, you know, when you walk around. Some resorts, you don't feel that way. You kind of feel like it's a hub of activity of the Polynesian and the Contemporary. Like, I've never felt relaxed at those resorts because it feels like almost like a theme park unto itself. But here, it's hard to not, like, take that deep breath and walk around. So, I've often felt that it's, like, the most laid-back of the resorts. So, even before we get into other details, I should mention, this is one of the moderates. Michael, what are the moderate resorts at Walt Disney World?
Well, we've got the two Port Orleans, mm-hmm. Riverside and French Quarter. We've got Caribbean Beach and Coronado, and then the the Fort Wilderness Cabins.
Okay. Stacy, have you ever stayed at let's say the Fort Wilderness Cabins? Have you stayed at I know you've been here. Have you stayed at any other of the moderates to compare them to?
Yes, I've stayed at all of them except for French Quarter.
Ooh, you've been at the cabins as well?
Oh yeah, two times.
Wow, wonderful. Okay.
And I've got French Quarter covered.
You guys are on it. Okay, so it is a moderate, so there's officially five resorts considered in the moderate. Well, we'd say four plus the cabins. It was built in 1997, so, you know, you're coming up on 23 years here that it's been open, and it just recently underwent a massive renovation. You mentioned it earlier. So this was like all, I don't want to use the word scuttlebutt, but it was the Disney scuttlebutt for a long time. When they announced they were going to build this tower, Michael, what is the tower's name again?
Grandestino.
The Grandestino. When they were going to build this tower, it caught like the flack and negative feedback from everybody. But I think if you were like, I don't want to say, and if you were a true Disney fan, because that's not quite right, but like in the back of all of our hearts, even though we really didn't want the change, I think we all thought it was going to be really beautiful once it was completed. And you're on site. I mean, you're there with Theme Park Brothers. You know, you're covering gondolas. You're covering, like you said, you've seen this thing since it was a baby all the way up to where it's at right now. What do you think of that, of the tower, Michael?
I just think it's extremely impressive. From day one, when I saw them, we were there when they were demolishing the Cabanas building that is no longer there. Mm-hmm. There were cabana buildings over there where the tower stands now. And I remember seeing them knock those down. And every step of the way, just seeing how the process has gone, it's quite a feat to keep a resort running and flowing and keep guests happy while you're building a 15-story tower, yeah, which is very close. I mean, we're not talking this thing is, you know, a little way. It's right next to portions of that resort. Mm-hmm. And so I've been very impressed with how Disney has handled it going through the whole process. I was always excited at the prospect of what it would do to a resort that I already love to visit, that I already found just absolutely beautiful. And then there's not just the tower, but the other additions that I'm sure we'll get to later, fixed some of the issues that I may have had with Coronado in the past, and just fixed it flat out. And I think that this whole the whole refurbishment and all the things that they did, there are a few that I'm sure we could probably at the end say some of the things that we may not like about the changes. But overall, I think it's absolutely beautiful. Let's just say that.
Okay. Stacey, you mentioned theming. So describe, what does Coronado Springs have in terms of theming? What is it trying to represent to people?
It's representing the Southwest theme. The American Southwest, Northern Mexico theme.
Okay.
There's three areas. There's the ranchos, the casitas, and the cabanas. Please don't ask me what the theme is for each of those areas because I get them so confused.
I won't. Okay.
But
gorgeous fountains and plazas. Yeah, right?
Fountains, plazas, so much beautiful foliage. I know that foliage is sometimes a problem for me.
It's a trigger. It's a trigger for you.
But it's beautiful. I love foliage there because it's so different from area to area. One of the areas, it's a lot of cactus type, dry foliage or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not using the correct words. You know what I'm saying? Then there's other areas that's a lot more lush. And so it's just so cool how that works, how they work that out.
Yeah, agreed completely. And at nighttime, it's, I mentioned how relaxed it was. It's doubly that at nighttime.
Nighttime is gorgeous.
It is gorgeous. So even before we start talking about other stuff too, this has got like a weird memory, but this was the very first resort that we pool hopped as DVC members, which is strange because we went to a non-DVC resort to pool hop as DVC members. But we visited and we had saw, the Jaguar slide, and we had saw the big pyramid, and we really wanted to go there and go into the pool area. So this was the first place, and they still will let you pool hop, at least is my memory, that you still can.
I think so. There's some, yep.
So if you're looking for a really nice, relaxed, cool experience, go here. Park the car. Go in for, for a meal over at the food court. Pack your bathing suits. Go to the dig site and go and have fun. They got a great pool on site. But anyways.
And you know what? They also have the largest outdoor hot tub at Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
Room for 22 people.
22 people. So let's talk about the entrance. So when you get in, obviously right off, they've got beautiful tiles to actually display the name. But as you enter the building, what is that entrance look like? What is the theme when you walk into the lobby? And what do you see when you get there, Michael? You're there more often than we are. So tell us what you see.
Okay. I'm gonna take you in your senses. First of all, it hits every sense that you have, because when you walk in directly, there's a fountain. And I love it when there are fountains because, number one, you can hear it, the water. Number two, you can smell And we all know that smell. It's the same smell that's on Pirates. It's the same smell that's on Small World. It's that chlorine.
Sweaty tourist?
Yes.
Okay.
Mixed with Florida air conditioning. It's a beautiful thing. But you walk in, and then when you turn to the right, there is the lobby with the most amazing hidden Mickey up on the wall. At the top, there's a giant projected hidden Mickey that I absolutely love. And that's one of my favorite things about that the resort and about that lobby itself, is that Mickey head.
Are you talking about the dome, Michael, above the fountain?
No, it's okay. Off to the right. Yeah.
Because you, like, if you were a fan of Seinfeld, you yada yada over the best part. Right when you get into that fountain, look up. There's a magnificent dome right above your head. And it's got this amazing artistry. And it's like, I like the fountain too, but like when you get there, you look up and it's like, oh my gosh. You know, when you walk into that lobby, it's one of my favorite parts. So
I mentioned the crab bisque.
Yeah, no doubt. No soup for you. Okay, very good. So anyways, I'm sorry. The lobby and the hidden Mickey. Okay.
Yes. And then when you look to the left, there is the marketplace there. And it is, well, it's your typical, what do you call it? Merchandise location.
No, don't undersell it. It's one of the best ones on property.
It was, Chris.
Yeah.
That's why I wasn't going to really dive into it, because they, with this remodel, they took away the color. They took away Panchito from the front.
Oh, no. Okay.
They had pushed him to the back, and he's like not colorful anymore. He's just like a beige Panchito.
We better call somebody. We're going to take care of it right now. We're going to take care of this problem for you. We're going to call someone.
And unless they fixed it in the past month or two put it back the way it was, that was one of the drawbacks. That was one of the kind of my frustrations with the remodel, was just that. And then I'm sure we'll get to Pepper Market, which is no longer Pepper Market.
But, okay.
Yeah.
But in terms of sizing, that's what I meant. When we went there, usually you can find just about anything that they sell at any resort, obviously, that's not themed to that resort, there. Some of the gift shops are small. If you end up at the Saratoga Springs gift shop, you know, it's a conglomeration of quick service and restaurant and like shopping. But it's not terribly large at either one of those. But like, I've always felt that like this gift shop and this marketplace was like really big for a resort. So, and that's probably due to the convention, you know, and a lot of people, maybe they want to shop for souvenirs for their family that might not be there with them. So they offer them the opportunity. Sure. Or you don't have stuff and you just showed up for 3 days, but you're staying for four or whatever the case is. So I've often felt this was one of the better ones on property, if not the best one on property.
And you know what I failed to mention, and this is very important because it comes down to the feel of the resort, the cast members. But there is there's a gentleman, John Mancini, that's there all the time, mm-hmm. greeting with his giant Mickey hand, greeting all the guests as they come in. And anytime I've gone to do a construction update, he's snuck into my videos several different times.
Okay.
Because he'll always give you that, you know, that wave. And it's people like that. And you know, we remember talking about greeters, no matter where it be, at the Grand Floridian. I forget the gentleman's name. You guys know.
Richard.
Richard, yes. Mm-hmm. At the Grand Floridian. It's people like that that are there time in and time out, mm-hmm. that really make that experience. So no matter the remodels, no matter what it looks like, we've still got John greeting us when we walk in the door. Everything's good.
Have yes. you do you personally know John, Michael?
I don't know him personally. I just know he's always there waving, mm-hmm. and I've not really talked to him or anything. He just seems like a great guy, and it's just that energy you feed off of when you go.
So Amy and Tim are listening right now. So Amy and Tim Vanswell, they know John very well. I know that they've had times where John's been incredibly helpful to them. So as strange as this sounds, I've always felt that, like, if something went wrong at Walt Disney World, I would simply call Amy, and Amy would be able to call John, because they have that relationship to be able to, like, help in a situation. Like, who could I use as a reference? Now, obviously, I mean, you're my buddy down there, and I've got a bunch of buddies, you know, between B and Scott and Peter and everybody, but, like, on property, like, he would be my go-to. And you're right, that's the kind of person that, like, makes or breaks, like, your hotel experience. And it's right, it's the guys like Richard, who's passed away, and John, that really, it's like, that's the face of the resort. So when you say theming, it's like, that's like part of the theming. That guy is like, he makes up almost as much as like the gift shop or the display or the color by having that person and that body out there every time. You're right.
Yep.
Okay, so continue on through your tour of what you're going to see. So you went through the lobby and you saw the fountain, you looked at the dome, you went and found the big hidden Mickey, you were disappointed that the color was taken from the shop, but it's still beautiful. Let's go down towards the food options there at El Centro. What is the food options there?
First, when you go down, you've got kind of like a quick grab and go location, mm-hmm, on the left, which has your, you know, bagels and muffins and that sort of thing. Quick grab and go location right there on the left, as well as a place to refill your mugs and such there as well. And then you keep going down this long hallway, and when you get to the end, there is a bar, the Rick's Bar on the left, and then the what used to be the Pepper Market is now called El Mercado, I believe.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it is your quick service location at the resort. And then if you keep going, you'll hit Maya Grill.
Okay. Stacy, were you there when it was called Pepper Market, or were you there after it had changed over?
I was there when it was called Pepper Market. Okay. And then over Marathon Weekend, we were there when it had changed over, I think. I actually don't remember now that I'm talking.
Okay.
Yeah, it would have been. Changed over, yeah.
I thought it had, but yeah.
Okay, describe, both of you, if you would, please. What is the quick service options? What does it look like? Is it in the vein of Port Orleans French Quarter, where there's little windows that you can pick different items from and you would wait, or describe what it kind of looks like?
Do you want to go ahead? Yeah.
I can talk about it. I have realized, as we're talking, by the way, that I am not an observant person, most likely because I'm worrying about everybody around me, all my family. So I'm like, wow, you guys really notice all these details. So I might miss some things with this. But it's, from what I can recall, you walk in and there's like different counters that you can go to, and each counter is, so it's similar to other quick services. And you order at different areas. So like there's a pizza area, which I think it was flatbread pizza. It was really good.
Okay.
And then there's like a burrito bowl area. There's probably another one. And then there's the dessert spot as well. So there's a bunch of different options.
Okay. Michael, you mentioned to me that you were a little disgruntled after they changed it and it was Pepper Market. But what's the biggest difference you noticed?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm as disgruntled with this change as I was the other. I think what it comes down to is it's more sterile. Okay, it's more it's going away from the what I would consider kind of an authentic experience to one that's toned down.
Okay,
So it's beautiful. Don't get me wrong, and for someone who's a little OCD, it's very clean.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps in that aspect, and I'm not meaning clean like we know everywhere at Disney's clean, mm-hmm, but like it's
visually intrusive.
Clean,
yes,
yeah, it's a very clean look. But I think I had just known Coronado as the place with the giant totem bird, you know, with the Pepper Market,
mm-hmm,
and the signage hanging down that said Pepper Market, and just, I don't know, just this kind of festival feel when you went in to go dine. And now it's just, now there's just more booths. It's more sterile, like I said, and it's very clean. And I like I said, I don't have a problem with that. As far as the dining options itself, I don't see much difference with that for me. I had heard that there were different iterations of the Pepper Market before I came around. For me, it's always been this way where there were different, basically, pods or bays that you go to get your different types of food.
Okay.
So in that aspect, it's not really changed a lot for me. We will say that we've always found that the portions at Coronado to be much larger than at other quick service locations, and the price also a little higher. So okay, that kind of went hand in hand. But
yeah. So and there is a quick, I'm sorry, there's a refill station, and it used to be in the middle. And I believe it's still there right now. But the seating area here is massive. It could be one of the largest quick service seating areas in any of the resorts. It's enormous, the amount of people. And that's due to the convention. So right down the hall from there, there is some of the convention rooms. They have, frankly, they have 60,000 square foot ballroom, as well as business centers. It can accommodate 5,000 people for dinner or 6,500 people for like a meeting style. So they also have a 20,000 square foot junior ballroom. So when they do have these conventions, they need a place to feed all these people. So that's why it's designed to hold as many people in the quick service area as it is. Do you know in the tower, do they have a ballroom and a convention center in the tower itself, or is that just accommodations?
I don't know if they do. I'm trying to look through here, and I'm not seeing. That's kind of the thing with the tower. I can't wait till it opens so we know everything about mm-hmm. it.
I don't think they have it. I think it's just accommodations, but I'm probably mistaken. I know there's going to be, a really nice dining option in there, but I think it's just accommodations. Stacey, you know anything about that?
I have no idea. Sorry.
Okay, no problem. All right, so let's walk out of the building, and we don't want to gloss over Maya Grill. I've not eaten at Maya Grill, but I know it's beloved by a lot of people.
It's really, really good.
Tell us about it.
I have to say, yeah, no, it's really great. We went during marathon weekend, and the thing I remember the most is the margarita flight that I had, which was
or not remembered at all.
They were very, very small glasses, but there's a jalapeno margarita that was super awesome, so I think I would just get that the next time. But I have some shrimp dish, but everything was really good, and there was live music. There was a guy playing a guitar, and it was really only a few people in the restaurant, so we had the place to ourselves, and it was great, good service and everything.
So that was my memory of Coronado as well, too, is it's large and it can hold a lot of people, but if you don't get a convention in there, it never feels crowded. It actually feels rather empty. So, like I mentioned, like the Polynesian and the Contemporary, they always feel crowded, 24/7, 365. But there are times we've been in this resort and we kind of look around and be like, where is everybody? And that's really unique on Disney property. So, again, it's a moderate. So if you're looking for something a little less hustle and bustle, check this out. I can't guarantee it's going to be that way once the Grand Destino opens, but you never know. So, okay, walk us out of the building here, and let's start walking around the property. So, Stacey, if we go towards the right, we're going to hit the cabanas, and then we're going to walk over to the dig site. So as you're walking the path, you've got your foliage, you've got your Lago Dorado. Good and bad. Good place for families because it's far from the dig site and the pool. Bad place for families. Tell us what you think about that.
Again, I don't remember very many details about this. All I know is that I think that our room was in the casitas, though I could be totally lying. It might have been in the ranches, but wherever it was, we just started walking one direction, mm-hmm. and I thought we were going the wrong way, but we ended up at the dig site.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like it should have been a much longer walk than it was. So I think I felt like it was my feeling of the place was distorted. Like I felt like it was humongous, but it actually, once you start walking, it's not quite as far as you think it's going to be. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Sure.
But
There are parts of the casitas, though, that are possibly the furthest away from the dig site. You would have to walk around almost.
So I was probably at the ranchos.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't that far. But I think it's just because, though, you do get so immersed in it and that you're just looking around in awe at everything that you're seeing.
True.
That it just feels like this is just part of your vacation. Whereas at other resorts, sometimes if you have a long walk, there's so much to look at and see. Mm-hmm. Here, even at night, it's, you know, it was just a great. I don't know if that answered your question.
Yeah.
At all, but
okay.
Well, I think, you know, when if you're asking about the cabanas themselves, so we're walking past the Destino Tower on the right. Right.
What building did they knock down, Michael? Too, by the way, what was the number? Do you know?
Was nine.
Nine. Okay, that's what I figured. Okay.
Because the first building that you'll hit on the right is eight.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think that area is, it's a decent area to be in now, because cabanas are really a good location. They also have a quiet pool,
mm-hmm,
over at the cabanas. Casitas also has a quiet pool, and so does Ranchos.
Mm-hmm.
So there are three quiet pools and the dig site. So no matter where you're at, you're going to be close to a pool, and their quiet pools are really quite nice, each one of them. Rancho's quiet pool is so secluded and hidden, some people might not even know it's there, but it is really nice. It's kind of elevated off of the walking path.
Cool.
And then cabanas itself, they have the hammocks out on the beach,
mm-hmm,
and then you have the beach itself. It's now that the construction is winding down, I would imagine it's much quieter. There for a little bit, that was probably the loudest portion of the resort.
Mm-hmm.
But it's my favorite, and I know this sounds strange and you haven't asked yet, but my favorite is when you move into Ranchos, which a lot of people would say, why in the world would you want Ranchos? Because it's about as far as you can get. It's as far as you can get from the lobby.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it that way. But Ranchos is very close to the dig site. It has its own quiet pool. And the way that the bus stops are set up at Coronado, if you get in the right Ranchos building, you just walk out the back of your building and there's your bus stop.
Okay.
So it's not one of those things to where, well, I'm not close to the main building, I will be really far from the bus stop. No, there are different bus stops, and sometimes you end up being closer to one by being in a farther building away.
It actually looks like there's at least three bus stops, maybe four if they stop at off at the lobby. So there's at least three bus stops on property. But, you know, we talk about these terms, Ranchos, Cabanas, Casitas, and, you know, El Centro and the Lago Dorado. So let me kind of orient people. So if you took the dig site, which is where the pool's at in the slide, and if you made like a clock, a circular clock, and that was at the center, Ranchos would be 12 o'clock above them. The lake is completely below the dig site, and El Centro would be 6 o'clock. So they're at the polar opposites of where the dig site's at. You can walk from Ranchos to the dig site, but dig site to the building, to the lobby, there is a little bit of a veered path you have to take. Cabanas would be over at 3 o'clock, and Casitas would be roughly over at like 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock. So north, south, east, west, if you could kind of picture those numbers on a clock, is where it's located. On a map, it looks like building 8 of Cabanas is really close to the dig site. Building 7 and 6 of Ranchos is really close to the dig site and their quiet pool. Anything in like 1, 2, 3 for Casitas, that's going to require some effort for you to get up and around the lake, but it is closest to the food options, to the refill station for your drink cup, for your, you know, for the marketplace if you wanted to be there. So I don't know if that helps orient people. And, you know, like you said, Stacey, the property's big. It's not enormous. It's not like what would be the biggest property, like Saratoga Springs type big or Caribbean Beach type big, but it is a way. So if you have a little one and you end up in building like 2 of Casitas, yeah, that's going to be a walk unless you're going to go to the quiet pool to get to the dig site every time. But it is gorgeous. It is beautiful. So don't be afraid of that. So,
and kind of segueing into what they are adding, mm-hmm, in the middle there that will kind of help I think that walk from one location to the other is the bridges.
Mm-hmm. They are adding the bridges. Correct. Absolutely. So it will make it a little shorter for sure. So we talked about the dining. We should mention just some basic information. So this is not taking in consideration the tower that's coming in. But prior to the tower, it had about 1,900 rooms and suites. Okay, it was situated in the three villages. We mentioned them several times. And the lake is a 15-acre lake. So it's a large lake. Do you know how many rooms are they putting into the tower, Michael? Do you have any idea about that? Is there a rough number?
I don't think I have a rough number on that.
Stacey, would you have any idea about how many rooms they're going to add to that?
I don't.
Okay.
I can look it up.
Okay. Yeah. And like I said, when they talked about building this tower, they were like, oh my gosh, it's going to completely destroy the sight lines and the theming. But you can just go to YouTube right now, or you can go to Theme Park Brothers, take a look at the video. It's magnificent. I mean, it's completely complimentary. Yeah, it's a tower. And I know people were like, this is not right. It doesn't look like a village. It looks like a giant tower. But there was a reason they built it, and there was first speculation it was going to be an additional DVC resort, and that didn't come to pass. But simply, the convention business is good for Walt Disney World property, and this offered them the opportunity, you alluded to this, Michael, for a refurbishment of many of the buildings, correct?
Yeah, they completely went through, and it's a completely reimagined resort.
Okay, so like, give me an example of what they would have done. You know, in terms of the regular rooms, what do they actually, you know, change over?
Well, I'll tell you what, I can vouch for the outside of the building, mm-hmm. and then I think Stacy could probably hit on the rooms themselves.
Okay,
of what they've done, but the outside of the buildings, they completely the paint. I know that sounds so silly, but the paint colors were completely changed. They added different adornments to the buildings. The outside just looked like they went through and fixed all the roof, everything externally. They went through and took care of. This is something that I think they won't even have to really majorly touch this resort for quite a few years, which, you know, for going through what they went through for the 2 years, that's going to say something. Mm-hmm. You know, people can go there and safely know, hey, you know, they're going to have to touch up here and there because there's constant maintenance going on. But it's absolutely beautiful. It ties into the tower. Mm-hmm. All of the schemes and everything go together. And then I think the biggest, though, is the insides of the rooms and what they did. So I will let Stacy kind of comment on that.
Yeah, Stacy, you were there just recently. Yeah, tell us.
Yes. Yeah, I'll tell you about that. And I also did find the rooms for the tower. Mm-hmm. There's going to be 545 new guest rooms, including 50 suites. And then I know we were talking about restaurants before, so I'll add this on as well. There's going to be a rooftop table service, which is called Toledo. And I know we've kind of mentioned that. They're serving tapas, steak, and seafood. Okay. So that's all part of the tower. Yeah, and we stayed in a newly refurbished room back in last June, July. And it was one of the reasons why Coronado became one of my favorite resorts. The storage capabilities in those rooms were mind-boggling. I do not know how they did this, but there's storage absolutely everywhere you look. And I love the fact that they have the under the bed storage for your suitcases. That's just as a game changer for people.
I remember you saying that. How awesome is that for all your luggage and suitcases that just sit in the corner, right? Yeah, genius.
It was perfect. And like, I don't know how they have all the storage in this room. Everywhere you look, there's a cabinet, there's a shelf, there's just, they did such a great job. But my favorite part is what they're doing in a lot of resorts when they do refurbs is they put in all the charging stations. So there's, you know, several charging stations on each side of the bed. They're all over the room. They're you know, so you can really charge all of your devices, especially for people who each person might have one or two devices. It just made things so much more convenient. Mm-hmm. In the room. But it was, I know a lot of people kind of are down on Disney with their new room refurbs, how they're saying that they look so sterile and everything. But I really like that. Like, I liked the clean feeling of the rooms. They still did have some Disney accents with the Three Caballero paintings and things on the walls. Those were really cute. But otherwise, it was just really clean decor. And made the room so bright and airy. And I thought they were really beautiful.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, that's kind of the impression that I got by watching your pictures, you know, that it was like, ooh, that felt like a brand new looking resort, like something they would just pull out. Yeah. Right. So cool. What was your thought about the pool? Let's talk about what is like one of the coolest features. So you got this giant pyramid. So let's talk about that. How did your kids enjoy the pool and the Jaguar slide there?
They really liked it. We only got to go, we might have gotten to go during the day as well, but I remember it very clearly at night. We were just very excited to get over there. Mm-hmm. And it was super cool. The pyramid is just so impressive with the waterfall going down it and the Jaguar slide. And just very, very relaxing. Also, we were kind of stationed off to the side of the pyramid, so I can see the kids coming off of the slide. Mm-hmm. And it was like we talked about before, there were barely any people there. It was really just us and a few other families in the evening. So that made it really a peaceful time too. But there's also a really, really cool playground right by the dig site with a giant sand, like a big sandbox, but it's like it's supposed to be like an archaeological dig. Mm-hmm. Hence the name dig site. But there's this area, it looks like building ruins, and there's this really cool slide coming out of the ruins. And I loved that because so many of the resort playgrounds just all are very cookie cutter. They look, you know, one looks just like the other, but this one is different. Like it's a themed area as a playground, and usually we pass up the playgrounds. We're like, don't let the kids see them, just keep on walking. But for this one, we're excited to let them play in it. So
outstanding.
Yeah.
Michael, did Cameron ever go and visit the Coronado Springs playground?
Yeah, he's got a Cameron's Playground review at the Coronado Playground. So
yeah, nice. I know he's reviewed a bunch of them with you, which really amounts to Cameron having fun and Michael chasing Cameron around. But they're really adorable. So I just didn't know if he had any from there. So
yeah, he does. He likes to go, and there's this, and there's this. Yes, great elaborations.
So that was called the Explorers Playground. That was actually the official title. I don't know if they've changed that since then, but it was called the Explorers Playground because my kids also got like drawn in like flies to the playground over there too as well. And when we were over there, like, okay, this looks really cool. Let them spend a little bit of time here. So definitely check that out. Michael, so when you guys go over there and you're visiting for like the afternoon or you're catching lunch, like what are the sites that you have to hit on this resort, even as a local?
A lot of times, I'll tell you, for a while there, I was going once or twice a month. Mm-hmm. To basically do construction updates, because at that time, when we were doing them 2016, 2017, it was to the point to where there would be a new building being done every couple months. So to be honest with you, my family, when they hear Coronado, they're not real big fans of going with me, because that usually means that we're sweating and walking around the entire resort.
Okay.
Sometimes twice. But I will tell you what I really enjoyed, because I can really only speak for myself, because everybody else is ditching me.
Heck with those people. All right, what do you enjoy?
Yeah. I actually, it's kind of what you guys have been saying. That resort, no matter what time of day, it has a different feel. No matter what time of year, it has a different feel.
Oh, Christmas is gorgeous there, Michael. You're right. Christmas is beautiful there. Yeah.
Well, it's not even just that. It's, let's say, springtime. Different foliage is growing. Different flowers are blooming. Then you go in August or September, it's a totally different feel. Christmas has a different feel. There's something about Coronado, unlike the rest of the resorts, I notice it more. Mm-hmm. At Coronado, that the vegetation gives that resort a pop. And it's something different each time. And it's not only that, it's a relaxing walk around. I never mind it because it's the sights, the sounds. You always hear birds chirping. You hear, you know, whatever is going on, it just...
As opposed to the monorail driving right through the middle of your resort or 1 million people in the lobby taking pictures, correct? It doesn't feel like that.
Right, it doesn't. And the other thing about Coronado, and we talked about Caribbean Beach a little bit ago, and it's how spacious Caribbean Beach is. Coronado is one of those places that it feels spread out, but it's not as spread out as you would think. Mm-hmm. Like Stacy had alluded to, she felt that it was going to be really far to get somewhere, but all of a sudden it wasn't. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's something that if I was asked, would you rather stay at Caribbean Beach or Coronado Springs, I would always say Coronado, because I think that you have that feeling of being secluded or not having to deal with that many crowds or being able to relax, but you're not walking a mile and a half to get everywhere, or you're not having to take a bus, like a...
Correct.
You know, an internal bus system, yeah, to get somewhere, which, you know, not taking anything away from Caribbean Beach, I absolutely love that resort as well, but you get what I'm saying.
For sure.
That Coronado has this, and for a long time it got a bad rap as being a convention hotel, but as many times as I've gone there, and we're talking 2-3 times a month doing walkthroughs, whether it be weekends, weekdays, evenings, daytime, never did it seem like a convention hotel to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you go into that convention lobby, yeah, it's going to seem like a convention hotel because that's what's going on right there. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to being at the pool, there aren't people in suits with Blackberries swimming in the pool, you know? It's
that's me.
People are, you know, it is what it is, but I don't understand that rap that resort gets. Okay. And I'll get off my soapbox.
No problem. And I'm gonna give you extra points today for actually mentioning the word Blackberry. So 2014 called, right, Michael? So.
Yeah, whatever. I had a Blackberry one.
So Stacy,
I think that going with that, like, I think on a Be Our Guest podcast one time, Mike Rallman was saying that, you know, if there's people at a convention, who cares? You're on vacation, they're at work. So I don't care if I see a bunch of people walking around with suits. I'm having fun. I'm on vacation, so don't worry about them. Yeah, it never bothered me either.
What else can they do? Well, what else does the resort have? What are some of the amenities that the resort has, Stace?
Yeah, so this moderate resort has a health club. So I don't think that any of the other moderate resorts have a health club. So that's a definite plus there. Scott and I use the jogging trail over Marathon Weekend. We kind of got stuck because there was a lot of construction and we just were following the path that we were supposed to follow, but obviously there was lots of fences up, so we had to take little detours around, but it gave us a really good opportunity to see the progress of the tower. Mm-hmm. There is a volleyball court, there's bike rentals, then there's the Movies Under the Stars, like they have at all the different resorts there. Mm-hmm. Too, but those are all part of the recreation of Coronado Springs.
Did it mention where those the movies are?
Because yes, it says it's at the feature pool. Nightly movies, oh, okay, under the, okay, stars.
So many, many years ago, they used to have a marina there too, but I don't recall seeing anything on the lake. But they used to have a marina. It's been some time, correct, Michael, that they've had anything?
They did, but yeah, they've since, there's nothing out there except for, of course, the construction watercraft or whatever they have there, and there's that makeshift bridge that's actually going across the water,
yeah,
in front of the tower,
yeah.
So yeah, they're the only traffic that's out there, and was going out to the construction of the actual new bar and grill, the Three Bridges Bar and Grill.
Okay. So we should mention a few things here before we close down here. When is the tower going to be completed? I know they're accepting reservations, but when are people staying, you know, with a completed tower, Michael? Do you have any idea of dates of those?
I do not know the dates.
Stacy,
I just had that, so let me pull it up again.
Okay, so I know that they've already started making reservations, so that is going to happen. Don't be concerned about the construction. That is winding down, if not almost entirely completed at this point. But then again, if you're going to Walt Disney World, if this is one of the first shows you've listened to, I want to give you the forewarning that really construction never stops at Walt Disney World. It's always going somewhere. You're going to encounter it on the road. You're going to encounter it at a park. You're going to encounter it at a resort. So there's really never a non-construction time, as the locals will definitely tell you, as Michael has to reroute himself many times to get to where he's got to get to, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell you, it isn't from lack of wanting to see when this opens, but I took a look at some of the prices for the tower, and it's just sheer, I don't need to know when it's opening or when they're taking reservations. I unfortunately will never be able to afford to stay there.
Well,
well, I can tell you when it's open.
Yeah, please.
Okay, so Disney Parks website says July 2019.
Okay, so we're coming up. We're coming up on this summer. So I happen to notice too on the Disney World website, which if you go to, you know, disneyworld.disney.go.com or just search Disney and hit the first site, which is going to be their site, they have, it says a standard view in a tower room under room rates, and it says club access. So I'm assuming that means club level access. And you know what? It was actually relatively affordable, Michael. So just to give you an idea, hang on, let me see if I can pull it up now. I might have lost it before. But there was a standard view that was club access. Now, I'm not saying this is cheap and by any means, but it's starting at $365 a night. So when you think about it, though, if you are in the tower and you get club-level access, that doesn't seem crazy if it's a night or two, if it's something special, if you have a special anniversary coming up. Like in my mind's eye, I'm thinking like 700, 800. They got those here as well, too. There is the presidential.
Those are the ones I saw where they were quite high.
Yeah, the Casitas Executive Suite. That's about $1,200 a night. So they have those as well, too. But think about it. You're going to get club-level access at a tower standard view room for $365 a night. That's pricey, but it's not like break the bank pricey, you know? So they do have different price points here as well.
It's three nights at Pop or one night there.
Yeah.
So that's where my mind goes.
Yeah, of course.
But you're absolutely right.
It's club level access, to me, that's, you know?
Not ridiculous at all. That price is actually completely reasonable. The prices I was seeing were more in the $600, $700 a night range.
Yeah, that kind of makes your hand wobble when you're signing that bill, right? At that point. So
yeah, I'm like, we're almost to rent. So
All right. So before we go, give us something that to leave on. So if you have a person that's trying to decide Port Orleans, Riverside, French Quarter, Caribbean Beach, and I'm not really even including the cabins because that's a different experience entirely. So what would you say to sway them? Give me like an argument. Give me two sentences to sway me to stay here over the other resorts.
Oh, you're wanting me to give...
you're going to sell me on it. Sell me on it.
Disney's moderates to me, and this is just my personal opinion, the moderates at Disney I think are the best that they have to offer, because it's not breaking the bank, and you get a really good experience. And I'll tell you, I don't think you can go wrong at any resort, and I definitely don't think you can go wrong at any of the moderates. Mm-hmm. But I think for the reasons I mentioned before, I think that's how you could eliminate Caribbean Beach, as far as picking Coronado, is the fact that Caribbean Beach is rather large. So depending on where you're staying, you could have some difficulties getting to and from bus stops, dining options, things like that.
And it's congested, and will be more congested than ever in the very near future.
Yeah, so we've got that. So we've eliminated Caribbean Beach. Now, the problem is that French Quarter, I was a cast member at French Quarter. It's one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. It's very compact, but it does not have the dig site pool. It has a very nice pool, and actually it has a very good splash pad. for kids at French Quarter. And Riverside has an amazing pool. Man, I'm really not doing a good job.
You are. So. Michael, you're not convincing me at all. Here, I'm going to knock Riverside like this. It has the worst slide on property. And there's a negative statement for me. I'm sorry. French Quarter has the worst slide on property. It's like 3.5 feet. And it's completely boring. So that is not a good slide there. Not that that makes it...
If this tells you anything, I mean, come on. I'm sitting here trying to figure out ways to sell a resort that we've been talking about for how long it's being how beautiful.
All right. Let me let you think here. Hang on. Stacy, sell this resort to me. Come on, because Michael's sold me on the entire moderates here, but this resort.
So you could stay at the Polynesian, or you could stay at the Grand Floridian and have easy access to two of the parks. But then the other parks, it's a little bit of a high. Staying at Coronado, you have really good central access to all of the four parks at a moderate price. So you might be losing the convenience of the monorail, but you have the convenience of Disney transportation to get to other places, and they're all pretty close, and you're paying a lot less for it. On top of this, you have glorious grounds. You have great accommodations, you have awesome recreation, fabulous restaurants, plus all this new construction that's coming up, and there's we also missed the new lounge that they're building on the lake, Villa del Lago, so they're going to have another restaurant option, another food option there, so I just think it's going to be the place to be in 2019-2020.
Great. So here's how I would sell it. I'm going to use those same thoughts, but I would say you're getting almost a brand new resort, and it's very quiet, you know? So you're getting like brand new conditions with an isolated feel to it. Yeah, I know the tower's there, and it's kind of like, you know, it's lurking in the background, but it's beautiful. So brand new, very reasonably priced for Disney resorts, very quiet and isolated. Like those combinations for vacation, that's just like spells relaxation to me, you know? So that's how I would sell the resort.
Yeah.
Michael, you want to finish up here before you sell us and anything else?
Well, I just want to tell you that that Stacy also had a hard time comparing it and singling it out from the other moderates. We compared it to the deluxe, but when it comes to moderates, it's very difficult because they are all amazing. And I think that probably the quiet is what will
get it's quiet. Coronado. Yeah, it's quiet.
Because, you know, well, I'm not even going to say it, but yes, the quiet.
Very good.
I think that is the selling point of Coronado.
Okay. So, you know, we hope that we've given you, we've hoped you've had as much fun listening as we've had kind of finding facts about the resort and exploring it ourselves. If you have any questions, you know, go to the Disney World site, go to disneyworld.disney.go.com, go to allears.net. Stacy, where are you looking at for your information?
I was looking at the Mouse for Less.
Okay, the Mouse for Less site. There's a lot of good resources. Go to YouTube. You know, check out YouTube. Check out some of Michael's videos on Theme Park Brothers. He's got some of the construction updates for Coronado. You know, we'd be remiss to not mention that, you know, our third host, who is Peter Panacorvo, he honeymooned here. This was the site of Peter's honeymoon. So this resort is near and dear to his heart. But there's a lot of great resources. So feel free to check them out. If you got any questions for us, find us on Facebook, which is going to be at the WW Review Facebook page. Join our private Facebook group, which is called EDCOT, EDCOT. If you got any questions for Michael, Michael can respond from EDCOT, but also he's Michael, you're at Theme Park Brothers on Facebook and at Theme Park Boys on Twitter. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yep. You can always find me there. Shoot me a message. I'll get back right back to you.
Yeah. So feel free to shoot us a message. We're both going to get back to you really quickly. So I think that's it for today. I'm going to go relax in my nice quiet resort that's brand new looking and I'm not. That's actually Michael tomorrow. I'm going to be here in Chicago where it's not nice. So anyways, we'd like to thank you. Have a great day.
Bye, everyone.
See you, everybody.
Hello.
Frog. You better keep that.
I had a frog in my throat.
Oh, this is a train wreck.
I have a frog. in my throat. I'm so flustered by the fact that it's an Animal Kingdom resort.